The reading this morning is taken from the Bhagavad Gita by Thorkell Sardarian. For some, the self is a marvel to look upon. For some, it is a marvel to speak about. For others, it is a marvel to hear about. But looking, speaking, and hearing, they do not understand it. This dweller in the body of each of us is ever invulnerable and indestructible. Therefore, you should not grieve for any creature. Besides, knowing that you are of the caste of warriors, you should not waver in your dharma. For there is nothing greater for a warrior than a righteous war. O Arjuna, fortunate is the warrior for whom such an opportunity comes, as it opens the gates of heaven. But if you do not fight in this righteous war, then, forfeiting your own dharma and glory, you will be guilty. People will speak about your lasting dishonor, and for one who stands for honor, ill fame is worse than death. Warriors in great chariots, who have great respect for you, will think that you have withdrawn from the war because of your fear. Your enemies will utter many unspeakable words about you, disparaging your great might. What can be more grievous than this? If you die in battle, you will gain heaven. If you conquer in battle, you will enjoy the earth. Therefore, O son of Kunti, arise and fight in firm determination.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Sun Festival of Scorpio. Except we have some more people coming down the walk very slowly because of all the ice. Have you all felt the intensity of the Scorpio full moon? Yes. To me, Scorpio is one of the most intense full moons that we have because of the battle that we're all struggling. And if we're not in battle, shame on us. We have to be in battle. We are warriors. We're soldiers first, but then we become warriors. And I'm going to be talking about the energies of Scorpio as well as what it means to be in battle, what it means to be a warrior. Now, Scorpio rules the eighth house. And there are two things in this house that we cannot escape from: death and taxes. It also rules magic and transformation. It's ruled by Mars and Pluto. Mars is the exoteric as well as the esoteric ruler of Scorpio. So it has a really important role in Scorpio. I'll be talking about that a little bit later too. The rays that Scorpio brings in are 4 and 6. 4 being harmony through conflict. 6 is the spiritual warrior or devotion. Now, we're all gathered here today because of a need for group consciousness, for group meditation. We're told that at the full moon time, when you gather in groups, you bring down more of the energy of the constellation. The group assimilates it and makes it safe for us to then distribute. And all of our souls had a calling this morning to come and join together in group meditation. It is so important. I remember going to seminars, and the teacher would say, we are actually helping our community just by sitting here and meditating, because we're bringing down these energies. And it not only helps us, but it helps the whole community. It helps the neighborhood. It helps. It's just like a lake with ripples. It keeps going out and helping and helping and helping all of humanity eventually. So thank you all for coming today. We're told that the greatest protection on the path is the group aura, the group radiation. And when we come together like today and our minds are ingesting all of the intellectual knowledge, and then we meditate and we radiate out what we've assimilated. We protect ourselves, we protect the group, and it feeds us and we feed it. And it's so special. Now, Scorpio is called the battlefield. Those who tread the path of perfection are on the battlefield. You cannot be on the path of perfection and escape from battles. We're going to fight the battles of the lower self, of that dweller from ancient past. And we're going to fight one battle at a time until we finish the whole war. We are told that a spiritual warrior is one who is armed with beauty, with goodness, with joy, with freedom, by the power of the Spirit. A warrior fights against his own weaknesses and against all obstacles which hinder his evolution on the path. He risks his life to do the same for others. So when our battle is done, then we fight the bigger battles of humanity. I remember going to a museum in Chicago many years ago, and I saw this huge room that had all these cases in it. And in these cases were weapons. There were spears, there were guns, there were muskets, there were knives, all kinds of weapons that man has used to kill his enemy. But he didn't kill his enemy. I'm sure when all those men had those weapons, they thought they were really going to get rid of their enemy. But what happened was they killed the form, and then the enemy came back and they married them. Or they were their sons or daughters. They're still with us. Of course, we know that the real enemies, none of us here are that way, but our real enemies are our weaknesses, and they're our vices and our habits and our illusions. And you know, through these, we are going to be controlled. That's why we want to get rid of them. We want to sublimate them, transmute them. It's like having tails, going into battle with a tail, and somebody can step on your tail and control you. We catch mice by the tail. So we have to get rid of our tails so that we can no longer be controlled by our enemies. Disciples, in that quote, said we are armed with beauty. We are armed with light. And this is the way we're going to do battle. It's an interesting concept, because darkness is only overcome by light. If you fight with darkness, you bring more darkness into the world, into your own nature, when you fight with the tools of darkness. Anger is probably one of the most prominent things amongst humanity. Most people have a little bit of anger, and anger starts more wars than anything. Someone says something to you, and maybe they don't mean it, maybe they do. You get mad, you retaliate, then they retaliate, and pretty soon you have a battle. You have a war on your hands. So getting rid of the elemental of anger is very important for all of us. There was a story of Buddha, and once this man came to Buddha, and he was very argumentative. And he demanded to know things. He challenged Buddha. And Buddha just sat there and looked at this man. And the man became angrier and angrier. And Buddha just sat there and watched this man. And his disciple was watching this whole thing. And so the man started spouting all these horrible obscenities at Buddha. 500 obscenities. And Buddha just sat there and he watched this man. And the man sat down, and he tried to calm himself, but he fidgeted with anger. And then he jumped back up again, and he started shouting at Buddha again. Finally, he went away, because Buddha didn't give him anything. And the disciple said, that person abused you so much that he got tired of it and had to leave. And yet you didn't react. You are still as calm as before. How do you explain that? Lord Buddha said, "It is true that he abused me, but I did not accept the abuse from him. Since I did not accept the abuse, he had to carry it back with him. That is why he got so red and so hot and felt so tormented. He had to carry back that abuse he showered on me. The abuse boomeranged on him because I didn't accept it. If someone cooks for you and you don't eat it, the cook has to eat it all himself. So if somebody abuses you and you don't accept it, that person has to eat all the abuse himself." And you know, that's true with any vice. We accept it when it interferes with our life, when we take it in and we say, "Oh yeah, what are you going to do about it?" And then we can't meditate, we can't study, we find ourselves getting off the path because of these jealousies and revenge and all of the darkness that people try to throw at us. So we're going to learn to build that armor. And the way to build the armor is with light, with more love, with more will. And really figuring out, you know, that person is acting like an elemental. They are, they're just a big elemental. Am I going to let them get to me? We don't have to. Buddha, Christ, Muhammad, they all showed us that we don't have to. Now in Scorpio, we're going to look at our battles. Why don't we just look at one battle? Let's just look at one battle in our life that perhaps keeps reoccurring. You know, this battle has been with us for maybe our entire life. We keep running into different people, but it's the same battle. So in Scorpio, look at that battle that keeps reoccurring in your life and figure out how you can strengthen yourself, how you can become more of a warrior and fight this battle. What is the remedy? You know, if you have a cut on your hand heals by itself. You don't have to sit there and look at it and think about it healing. If we have a sore in our emotional body, how is it going to heal except when we heal it, when we apply the remedy or the mental body? If envy is something that you've had all your life, how are you going to heal that? What is the remedy? First of all, you probably envy somebody because you're seeing their beauty. And somehow it's magnifying maybe a lack in yourself. But we're told that if we admire the beauty in others, it becomes our beauty. When we admire their qualities, we will become that. Will become those qualities that we admire. Our vices and our weaknesses are the result of a limited consciousness. We're all provincial in our consciousness to some degree. We don't have this huge expanded consciousness yet. But as nature shows us, there is an abundance of everything. So why not think of an abundance of joy within your nature? Why not think you have an abundance of beauty at your disposal that you can tap into anytime? In every battle, we're going to have five main ingredients. We're going to have a crisis that triggers the battle. We're going to have two opposing viewpoints. Of course, yours is always right. We're going to have soldiers or warriors. We're going to have the commanders. And we're going to have the battlefield. We're told in the teachings that there are three kinds of crises. The real crises, which are results of cosmic shocks. We have a fabricated crises, which are the result of our own fears and imagination. Then we have the manufactured crises, which are produced by those who want to exploit and manipulate us. A real crisis is happening right now. a cosmic shock is happening right now. It's called the full moon. The full moon was yesterday at 2:15, but we're still within that orb, that intense orb of the full moon. And if we're sensitive, we're going to feel this shock, and we're going to be doing something about it. If we're insensitive, we'll just let it manipulate us, and we'll react to it. So look at the battles you've been struggling with, especially in the last couple of days. This is due to a cosmic shock. This is a real crisis. One of the issues we could be dealing with is perhaps love. We're told that in the year 2000, humanity received a cosmic shock, and that it came from Shambhala, and that it bypassed hierarchy, which is the heart of the planet. So that means we're going to look at our own hearts. What does it mean to look at your own heart? It means to look at the amount of love, compassion, forgiveness. These are heart qualities. And we can see how we are passing this test. Look at the world. If we don't respond with the heart, we will perish. I was looking at this election, this farce of election that we're having. I mean, only one time in history has this happened, where we didn't have a president at the end of the election day. And I see it not so much as these two men, as a test for humanity. I mean, look how even they are in the polls. One gets this and the other gets that. They are so even. It's almost as if humanity is going to battle. What are we battling? One candidate says, let's get into the future. You know, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to do some major changes in our life, but we're going to succeed. The other candidate says, oh, relax. Everything is going to be just fine. Just stay the way you are. And this is where humanity is. Are we going to go forward, or are we going to go back? You know, our consciousness elects the president. The leader is just a reflection of the people. So we're just going to observe this and see what goes on with this election. The second kind of crisis was the fabricated crisis, the result of our own fears and imagination. Fear is the illusion of a duality, of a separateness. We are caught by duality when we're stuck in the form. Something comes along and wants to threaten that. You know, a crisis comes along and says, okay, where's your level of fear? Where's your imagination? Sometimes our imagination starts conjuring up soldiers. You know, we are in a crisis, and we think, okay, that person's probably going to do this, and then I'll do that, and that person's probably going to do this. And we start almost like drawing a battlefield already in our imagination. And we conjure up our fears and everything. It's like this, you know, one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And pretty soon we're in a state of fear, and nothing has actually happened. We haven't even, you know, come across that situation. So we have to watch our fears. Watch your imagination. Battle is to show us who we are and who we're not when things are taken away from us. And a crisis takes things away from us that we don't really need. It shows us where we can do without, where we need to change. The third is the manufactured crises. And these are produced by those who want to exploit and manipulate us. Remember that toilet paper crisis many, many years ago? They said there was going to be no more toilet paper. So people ran out and had a frenzy over toilet paper. What did it bring out in us? It brought out fear. These people were manipulating us. We have to be awake as warriors. We have to know there's always going to be toilet paper. Because there'll always be a company who wants to. Yeah. That's the battle cry now. So there'll always be, you know, these things where our fears just, you know, are there because, I mean, people can't exploit us if we didn't have that fear. They couldn't manipulate us if we didn't have these things. So we're going to try to look at these things. We cannot be manipulated. We can't be like little lambs to the slaughter. Crises are tests, and they can either evoke a creative response or put us into inertia. You know, if you have a crisis and you think, oh my gosh, yeah, I can do this and I can do that, and oh, I never thought about it, I could do this. Or you go, you know, like a deer in the headlights going, oh my God, what am I going to do? And you become paralyzed with fear. Sometimes you become paralyzed with fear at first, but then you go to the teachings, or then you meditate. And then you go, I do have other resources. Scorpio does rule resources. And we have an abundance of resources within us. We don't have to limit ourselves. Now, another part of the battle was the opposing viewpoints. There's always two different viewpoints in a battle. Yours and his and the truth, my grandmother used to say. You look at the Middle East. I mean, each side thinks that they have the right answer. And neither one is going to bend. So here come the peacemakers to show us that neither viewpoint is actually right. And what do? We usually end up killing them. Like Begin, like even Malcolm X. You know, he came to the viewpoint that, hey, we're not doing the right thing here. There's this other viewpoint out there we have to look at. That's when they killed him. To be a warrior means that you will have to suffer. When you present another viewpoint, then we have the soldiers and the warriors. And I think the soldier is probably the first stage to being a warrior, because as a soldier, I mean, think about boot camp, they try to really get that little will out of there. You know, you have to follow orders. I've never been in boot camp, but I've seen movies. You have to follow orders. You have to follow the rules. And in some ways, you know, it goes to the extreme where they want you to think. They just want you to act. But as warriors, we have to follow the guidance ahead of us, which means our teacher. You know, we have to get rid of our little, well, I don't think it should be done that way. And, you know, our vanity. It's just vanity. Get rid of the vanity, the ego. We have to chip away and chip away and chip away at it until we can see that the teacher, you know, has the better plan. Teacher always has the better plan. And we start to grasp our teacher's vision. Do we know what our teacher's vision is? Because this is what we're following as warriors. A warrior has the teacher's vision in his heart, in his bones, in his consciousness. Because your teacher's vision is her teacher's vision. And as his teacher's vision, so you're linked to higher and higher visions through your teacher's vision, through getting rid of your own stuff, your own ego. We're told a warrior's weapons are light, love, power, beauty, forgiveness, joy. These are the weapons that we're going to use as warriors. Soldiers may use other weapons. Warriors can only use weapons of light. And that's why the keynote for Scorpio, warrior I am, and from the battle, I emerge triumphant. We're not going to emerge triumphant unless we use weapons of light. You don't emerge triumphant if you get down to their level and use their weapons of your enemy. We have to use the weapons of light, and then we will be triumphant. The Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, Moses, they all taught us these weapons. They showed us how these weapons will overcome any darkness. It's like beauty. When you are in a, you know, you're looking at a beautiful painting or you hear beautiful music, that can overcome your sour mood more than anything, or your hate. Then we have in the battle the commanders. They're the ones who have already fought our battle. They're the forerunners. And they are warriors. They're visionaries. They're great warriors who are fighting battles for other people, for the whole race. We're told that the Christ is fighting cosmic evil. I can't even conceive of what that must be like. I mean, just the little stuff that happens in my own life, I think, is, you know, unsurmountable sometimes. But cosmic evil, he's going ahead. He's fighting these huge battles. He's encouraging us to do the same in our own lives. He shows that warriors under him will do battle to increase the light and the love within humanity. Then we have the battlefield. There's a quote from Cosmic Shocks. It says, "The Kurukshetra, as it is called in the Bhagavad Gita, is the battlefield on which the war of life must be waged and where the battle of spiritual achievement must be won." And that there are seven battlefields, and I'm only going to discuss three of them because the other four are so far ahead I don't even know how to discuss them. The seventh is the battlefield of an eye for an eye. This is the most ancient battle that man has been fighting. You do that to me, I'll do that to you. How ancient is that? But we're still doing it. I mean, you pick up the newspaper, we're still doing it. You go to the movies, we're still doing it. Kicking each other, punching each other. It's degrading for humanity to still be at this point. But it's also reality. It's the lowest kind of battle that we can do. And you know, on this battlefield, our karma increases. Our enemies increase on this particular battlefield. And then the sixth battlefield is one where we learn to cooperate and to sacrifice and develop mutual trust. I think this is what Gandhi was trying to show us with the nonviolence, and Martin Luther King Jr. was trying to show us how to battle without the weapons, without the darkness. And we're still trying to get this concept. The fifth battlefield is one on which we learn to exercise tolerance, group consciousness, understanding, and joy. And this is the battlefield of the disciple. Group consciousness. It is a concept that we are all moving into. We strive to see the beauty in group consciousness. We strive to see the beauty in each other. You know, once we start on the path of perfection, all of that stuff comes rising to the top, and we see each other's stuff. You know, we see all the ugliness sometimes in ourselves and other people. But don't take that personally. Try to see the beauty. Just know and understand that they're working on it. This is their battle. This is all of our battle, is to work on our stuff. And they're just doing the best they can, you know, at this point. So let's, the beauty and the love will unite us as a group. When we see these dualities, when we see the ugliness, that's separative. It sort of tears at the beautiful fabric that we weave, you know, when we come together as a group, when we study as a group and meditate. The other four battlefields are the battlefield on which we learn how to actualize the divine plan and establish the kingdom of God on earth. The third battlefield is one in which we learn to cooperate with all kingdoms of nature and understand the supreme value of nature and find the guiding star of our life toward our cosmic home. The second battlefield is the field in which the consciousness of advanced humanity fights to make group breakthroughs into higher dimensions. And the first battlefield is the field in which the spirit of humanity realizes its supreme destiny. Something to look forward to. We're all going to be there one day. Now, the opposite sign of Scorpio is Taurus. And we're told that the work that we do and the seeds that we plant come to fruition in the opposite sign. So you think about, what was the opposite of Scorpio? It was the Wesak 2000. Did you experience some kind of an awakening? Have you had breakthroughs or solutions to major problems in your life? Because I'm sure at WISOC we all planted seeds. You know, we were so filled with aspiration at WISOC that we planted these seeds. And so we can look at Scorpio. We can look at this time right now and see how these seeds have blossomed. Can you see things from a higher perspective now? Desire in Taurus brings spiritual aspiration in Scorpio. Aspiration is the result of being inspired with a vision, and then we aspire to manifest that vision. And every battle is fought and won according to a vision. You can't have a battle without a vision. It's that beauty on the other side of the abyss that makes you want to cross the abyss. I mean, sometimes we get to these abysses in our life and we think, oh my God, how am I going to get through this one? But look at that vision that's waiting for you on the other side. That's what's going to carry you across. It's like, don't look down. You know, don't dwell on the abyss. Look at the vision. You know, you can have a mantra in your head. You know, more radiant than the sun, purer than the snow. That's who we are. Keep the fire of aspiration lit. Strive forward towards your vision. We cannot undo, we cannot take back what we did yesterday. It's gone in the ethers. But we can do something about tomorrow. We can make tomorrow whatever we want it to be. And when we strive this way, we are actually undoing what we've done in the past. There are two rays that are dominant in Scorpio. 4, which is harmony through conflict. 6, which is devotion. It's no wonder these two rays coincide with the rhythm of Scorpio. Harmony through conflict, that's the battlefield, huh? It doesn't say harmony, it doesn't say conflict and conflict. You know that at the end of this conflict, there is going to be harmony. There is going to be illumination. I mean, that's what we're all fighting for when we fight with light. And then devotion. Ray 6 can be the spiritual warrior, can also be the fanatic. And the fanatic brings destruction. The fanatic is not a religious person. They have their own interests, their own selfish interests at heart. A spiritual warrior has a sense of oneness and inclusiveness. He recognizes all religious philosophies, all religious paths, because they're all leading that person to the same end. But we all take a different path every life. And so he respects different religions, different philosophies, different spiritualities. That's the kind of warrior we're going to be. We're going to be devoted to what it is that is for us, this path, this lifetime. But we're also going to be tolerant of other people's religious choices. Scorpio rules the house of death. And in this case, the death is actually a transformation. Death can be the physical death, it can be an emotional death, meaning, you know, sometimes people have crises. And it really kills their emotional body. They shut down. Death can be mental. You know, we can mentally stop receiving inspiration or spiritual. But death can also be of our habits, of our glamours, of our illusions, of our vices. That's the kind of death that we want to fight to. And a warrior brings death to these by transmuting them, transforming them, transfiguring all of these things which are preventing him from becoming the self. We're told that transmutation is to refine the energies of the lower centers, which bring, listen to this, new atoms to the glands and organs, and builds new and more advanced cells. Building new cells. building new atoms through transmutation. Transformation, it can be likened to alchemy. You take the lower and raise it to the higher. The energy comes in through maybe the sacral center and you move it up to the throat center. Transformation is the change of form. We're told that a person's face can change, his organs can change through transformation. And that they adapt themselves to the level of consciousness. The emotional body changes when we no longer hate. The mental body can be transformed when we no longer have illusion and we align ourselves with a vision. Transfiguration occurs when the inner light shines through all the physical, emotional, and mental atoms and releases the light that is hidden in those atoms and cells. The person becomes radioactive. And I could just imagine when people saw Buddha, when people saw the Christ, when people saw Moses, this is what they saw. They saw this being of light. You know, can you imagine being in the presence of such a being? You would immediately, I would think, change to some degree. Because this would affect you as well. Radioactive, you know, it radiates. And your aura radiates with it. All the great ones were radioactive. Mars. Mars is a planet of war, of conflict. And we're told that Mars is actually a good thing because it brings out all of those things that we wouldn't see. It brings out, it brings all the different soldiers onto the battlefield so that we can see what we're fighting against. There are three different stages to Scorpio. The first one is called the serpent. The next one is the scorpion. And then we have the eagle. Serpents, of course, are the lowest, and they battle on the lowest level. They're the ones who use the weapons and the hatred in order to kill the enemy. They'll do anything to destroy their enemy. Nothing is beneath them. And you know, as disciples, it's important for us to recognize the snake. You know, it is. We can't be naive to these people. But we need to observe them and to keep an eye on them, to be watchful. And these are the fanatics. These are the kamikaze people who will destroy themselves in order to destroy other people. Then we have the scorpion. And this is pretty much the average Joe. You know, this is the guy who likes his comfort. He likes his family. He's still caught up to a certain degree in his glamours and illusion and Maya. But he has glimpses of what he can be. Every once in a while he gets a revelation. Oh, yeah. You know, so this is your average person, Scorpio. And then we have, of course, the eagle. There are very few scorpion eagles out there. But we know of one. And when you come across one like that, you've come across a great one. Someone that can help you transform your life. They have a vision. They are carriers and bearers of light. They help us to liberate ourselves. They don't liberate us. They help us to liberate ourselves. Their battles are on the behalf of others. They fight for those who are too weak to fight. They fight against injustice and exploitation. And they're dedicated wholeheartedly to a great vision. They sacrifice everything that they have and that they are for the vision. Nothing interferes with their vision. There's a quote from Alice Bailey that I'm going to end with now. It says, "Keep your eye on the eagle. Call down the fire. Do not look at the ground. Be centered in divinity." It's pretty interesting statement there. Pretty heavy. So it's time for meditation, for group meditation. And let us close our eyes and take three deep breaths. And as Jolene was saying at the very beginning, focus your consciousness at the highest point you can. If it's Shambhala, hierarchy, your soul or angel, put your consciousness in that very high state. Let us repeat this mantra. May the power of the one life, may the power of the one life pour through the group of all true servers.
Pour through the group of all true servers.
May the love of the one soul,
may the love of the one soul
characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones.
Characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones.
May I fulfill my part in the one work.
May I fulfill my part in the one work.
Through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech.
Through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech.
And let us say three ohms. Visualize an eagle soaring at a high altitude. Now visualize a five-pointed star on its head. And let us meditate on the following words. Warrior am I, and from the battle I emerge triumphant. What does warrior mean to you? Find three things in your life which must be surpassed. and surpass them as a warrior. Where is your battleground? And what does victory mean to you? Now visualize three streams of light of different colors. And create a beauty of your choice. And then repeat after me. In beauty, we are united.
In beauty, we are united.
With beauty, we pray.
With beauty, we pray.
Through beauty, we conquer.
Through beauty, we conquer.
And let us say three ohms. Oh.